All right, good morning.
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 It's good to see all of you here this morning. We've got a good group. The Lord's given us beautiful weather. He gave us some rain this week. And all the crops seem to be growing great. Of course, like David said, you see corn going just great and wheat that hadn't been harvested yet. So it's good and the bad. But it's great to be in the Lord's house, and I pray that you're blessed as you come and you worship with us. If there's someone in the parking lot listening on the radio, we're so glad that you're there, and perhaps there'll be others that'll be listening on the website later this week. Or, you know, sometimes I have some friends that say they maybe not listen every week, but then they binge listen for several weeks in a row. So we're so glad that whether you've joined us one way or the other, that you're here to worship Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. You're looking good. You really are. Some of you look a little fuller than some of the others, but maybe pray. Father, it's so good to be in your house to worship you. Oh, Father, what a privilege we have to bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Glory, our Savior, our soon coming King, just to tell you that we love you and we worship you and we praise you and we thank you for every wonderful thing that you've done for us. Father, you know the needs of this congregation, the needs of this church, the community. Father, we ask for you to pour out upon us your mercy, your grace, your provision, your instruction, your guidance, and the Holy Spirit power that we need to hear and to follow and to obey. Father, for might be some specific need that someone has in this service today. Lord, I thank you that you're such a great God, that you can move from one pew to the next and meet every one of those needs. We welcome you today, Holy Spirit. You're so welcome just to come and say and touch our hearts. Father, help us to fall in love with you anew and afresh. And we give you thanks for doing just that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Pastor Ed. We appreciate that very, very much. We welcome all of you this morning, and if you are visitors, you are indeed our special guests this morning. As we do our hymn sing this morning, as I looked at this, and we talked about this morning in our session this morning, that one of the main needs that we need is prayer, and certainly this song fills the bill for that. It says, I need thee every hour. How many feel like you need the Lord every hour? That's what this song says as we stand and sing. Let's sing verses 1, 2, and 5.
Tender voice like
Busy week planned ahead for Barbie's Grove, and I want to share the announcements with you at this particular time. Wednesday night will be our Bible study, and you all come and be with us. We have some very engaging, I would say one way of putting it, conversations and our Bible study, and it's very good for all of us. We all learn. So Wednesday night, be here for our Bible study. Then Friday night will be at 6 o'clock to 7:30 will be VBS kickoff, and there will be a meal served and a meal prepared, so those of you getting home Friday, just come on down, enjoy the meal with us, and I think Jeff Kay, you'll be the chief cook, I believe, this time around, and I'm going to be helping you a little bit, so we'll all work together up there on doing that. But Jeff has always handled the chores for the meals and does a wonderful job, and so Jay, we'll look forward to another one of your meals, Jeff. We surely will. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
We'd like to ask anybody that can help us out on Friday night with some finger food desserts, brownies, cookies, Rice Krispie treats, whatever. Just kid-friendly finger foods. That would be greatly appreciated. Mm-hmm. And also on Saturday, for the kids, if you want to bring your favorite stuffed pet, not your real pet, but your stuffed pet, if you want to bring that out, then
okay. All right. And then on Saturday morning, July the 1st, starting with 8:30 to 1 p.m. Vacation Bible School, and there'll be breakfast and lunch served there. And bring someone with you. We talked a little bit about that this morning. We've always had good visitation response to our Bible school, and we'll look forward to that throughout again. Okay? And then, let's see. Those of you that are needed to recertify your CPR courses, you'll see that in the bulletin there where you can sign up and do that if you need to sign up and to get recertified. That's all. Yes.
Can I add something?
Sure.
What we're doing is we're trying to get a list of people that are interested for certification, and then we'll plan the class around the people that are interested in their schedules. And also, I don't know when it'll be. We'll probably make the sign-up sheet up through maybe mid-July.
Okay. All right. Well, be sure you do that. Talking about sign-up sheets, I got one more thing I want to share with you. I want to share this with them on the nominating committee. The nominating committee is now at work, and what we'd like to know from you first off is if you'd be willing to accept the job that you now have, and you accept it again. So Janice was kind enough to write this for me because she knows if she doesn't write it up for me, then I'll probably say it wrong. So, well, no, not really. But anyway, I want to do it anyway. The nominating committee would like to continue with the same officers and teachers and ministers, leaders for the upcoming year 2020, if possible. In other words, if you got a job and you like your job, do it. But now, please, remember this. Don't say, well, I'll do it if nobody else will. That's the wrong attitude. We don't need that. We want you to want to do it. We want you to really want to serve the Lord in this path, okay? So if you will commit to that position for the next year, please contact one of the nominating committee members, Rosina Tucker, Leonard, Chris Whitley, or Janice Coley, or the Sunday School Superintendent McCord Barbie, one or the other. A copy of this will be posted on the bulletin board. So if you want to do it, what we're going to do, we'll just post all the officers and teachers that are currently in right now, and you just go by and check your name off. Yes, I'll do it. And that way we won't be calling you. Otherwise, you're going to get a call. Okay, so just do it that way. So that is that about right, Janice? Is that what we need to do?
Well, what I had said was, if you, for some reason, you could become the to the position,
yeah.
Contact office.
Yeah, if you can't do it.
If you're willing to do it, you just don't have to do it.
Yeah, we'll just put your name down, right?
Right.
That's easy enough. I like that. All right, so do that. Okay. Now, also, you see a bulletin insert that you've got this morning. It says spiritual prayer meeting. And we all agree that one of the most important things that we can do for our church and each other is to pray for each other. No doubt about it. That's very, very important that we do that. So that's what this is about. So this just gives you a list that you can go through and pray. And so please take this to heart. Let's do it. Let's pray for each other. And you have a prayer list there. Okay? Are there any other announcements that I may have overlooked at this point? Chris, Jeff. Okay, Baptist men, before you go that way, come this way today, okay? Anybody else? All right, we have quite a few that's already been on our prayer list this morning. We added during our Sunday school time and also early this morning. I got this list. I've got Tony Eifert, who is out today sick. Let's remember Tony. We've been asked to pray for our country, and certainly there's a need there, huge need. Need to do that. John Yao, we need to pray for him. Miss Birdie, let's pray for Miss Birdie this morning as she at home. Lou Henson. Then we have two families who've lost loved ones, Jessica Drake family, the Lou Eubanks family. We need to pray for Mark Schaefer and then Herb Ambern. I hope I got that right, Jeff. Ambern. I hope that's right. Okay. Now, do we have others this morning?
No, but I have a praise report.
All right, Robert. I love that.
Jason Aldridge that was put on the prayer list about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Had a bad four-wheeler wreck. He was in a coma for about a week and a half. The Lord's works. He woke up. He's out of ICU. He's in rehab now. He still needs prayers.
Yeah. Praise the Lord, Robert. Amen. Prayer changes things. Thank you, Robert. Anyone else? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity you've given us. An opportunity, Lord, you've given us to worship, to share with each other, to study your word, and Lord, to praise your name. Lord, we're so glad the rocks won't have to cry out, that we need to stand up now, Lord, and praise your name and thank you for the many blessings. And Lord, we do thank you before we ever ask you. We thank you. We thank you for what you've already done for us this very day. The fact that we have the health to be here. The fact that we're here worshiping together. We thank you for that. But Lord, as we go forward in our service today, Lord, we ask your blessings upon us and your service, Lord. And Lord, we always will give you the glory and the honor. We pray for our pastor, Lord, who come today and preached our sermon to us, Lord. And help us to apply it to our hearts and our lives, Lord. And help us to be concerned for the lost. Oh, Lord, we need to be concerned for the lost. And those who do not attend our church, this church, your church, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we will be concerned for those members who are delinquent. And for those who need to come, for those we need to visit, lay it upon our heart a burden, we pray. And then, Lord, specifically speaking, Lord, we've got a list this morning that we want to bring to you because, Lord, I know that you expect us to be specific with our asks and with our requests. So, Lord, I do lift up Tony Eifert this morning to you this morning. We pray for Tony that you'll restore him back to his health, Lord. For our country, oh, Lord, our country, Lord, it does need a touch from you. It does need your guidance, more and more so. We pray for our leaders, from our community leaders to all the way to the White House, we pray. We pray for John Yao, Lord, we lift him up this morning to you. And then Miss Birdie, Lord, as Lord, as she is ailing, Lord, and Lord, as she's 95, 96, Lord, and Lord, we pray for her and we ask for your will to be done in her life. We pray for that family. We pray for those who are caregiving to her. The Lou Henson, we lift her up to you, Lord, as well. And then, Lord, those two that have lost their loved ones, the families with the Jessica Drake family and the Lou Eubanks. We pray for Mark Schaefer and then Herb Albert. Then, Lord, I know there's many still on our prayer list. We pray for them as well. We lift them up to you. But now, Lord, as we go forward today, we always want to remember this, that you're able, and we know that, and we have faith in that. We also have faith in our prayers and our petitions that we send your way. And we thank you for your blessings, and as we go forward in this service today, in your name I pray, amen. For our praise song today, I want to share something with you. And number one, I thought about the pastor's newsletter. If you haven't read his newsletter, you need to do it, because it talks about the leadership of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you, take you by the hand, not physically, spiritually. And if you'll do that, and then I really think about, if you'll read that newsletter, you'll see his life was spared because he listened to what the Spirit told him to do. And then I think about Isaiah 41:13. God spoke and he says, I am the Lord thy God, and I will take you by your right hand, and I will ask you not to be afraid, because I will help you. That's paraphrasing a little bit, but that's basically what it says. This song I'm about to sing, I'm going to sing it to you a cappella. And the reason I'm doing it a cappella is because, quite frankly, I can't imagine it any other way, Kathy. I told you the last time I heard this song, I was blessed to be in a black church down close to Troy. And our quartet had sung, and we were taking a break. And this lovely, sweet lady stood up, and she sang, Precious Lord, take my hand. And I want to tell you something. She sung it from her heart. She sung it from her soul. And there was not a single person in that building that didn't praise the Lord because of it. I got the words on the board. I've got them up on the board for you to see the words as I sing it this morning. I'm not even going to attempt to sing it the way she did. I wish I could, but I'm not going to attempt it. But what I am going to do is do my very best to let you see, Precious Lord, take my hand. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, Precious Lord, and lead me on. When my way grows drear, Precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, Precious Lord, and lead me on. Take my hand, Precious Lord, and lead me home. And everybody said amen. Thank you. God bless you. Children, you're dismissed, children. God bless.
Thank you, Leonard. You know, the Lord does want to hold our hand 24/7. Lead and guide, direct us. As I said in the last of that newsletter, learn to know that guide that's inside of you and know him well. You know, we can use the word revive in a lot of ways. For example, at Pamela's funeral, somebody sent some kind of plant. I have no clue I know what roses are, and that's about it, but I don't know. But I was sitting there taking my vitamins this morning, and I looked at it, and I thought, boy, that thing is droopy. But I know if I go home, put a cup or a pint of water in that thing, but bedtime, it's going to be just as spry as can be. It's going to be revived. And I don't know how many times I've revived it in the last 5 months, but I've revived it a number of times. I don't ever think about putting water in it till I look over there and the thing's like, you know. Well, you know, if somebody flatlines in an emergency room and they use the CPR tactics, the electric shock, we can say they were revived. If you're tired and you've worked hard all day and you go to bed and you wake up the next morning and said, boy, I sure feel revived from the way I felt when I went to bed. But what does revive or revival mean to us spiritually? Turn with me to Psalm 85. Psalm 85. And let's look at start at verse 6. Psalm 85, verse 6. And the psalmist asked a question. Wilt thou not revive us again? He knew that God had worked in the life of Israel numerous times when they had backslidden and gone away from God. God had revived them. God had brought them back to himself once again. And he's in a time when things aren't going as well. And he says, God, will you revive us one more time? Will you revive us again? Will you do it? And he's praying for God to revive his nation. Is that what you're praying? This morning, are you praying for God to revive your own heart spiritually? To revive our church? To revive our nation? What are you praying for Barbie's Grove? How desperate are we praying? Are we satisfied, or do we realize how much we need revival? And I'm not talking about revival services. We can have revival services till we wear the fabric off of the pews and down the aisle in the carpet coming and going without having revival. What is revival? How would you describe revival, real revival? Let me see if I can give you a definition and then explain it, what I'm trying to get at. I think real genuine revival is this. It's a fresh awareness of the presence of God. A fresh awareness of the presence of God. Now, I don't know whether they could do it or not, but suppose that Jeff and Wes could hook up the security system in some way to the projection system, and they could show you Jesus walking around in the flesh out here in the parking lot. You'd feel great, wouldn't you? that Jesus is right here around our church. That's fantastic. But suppose Jesus came through the door, walked down the aisle, got Leonard's microphone, and stood up here and started talking. Suddenly, Jesus is the focal point of everything that's going on. And you know what I can imagine? There wouldn't be a soul sitting on the back pews. Now, I'm not criticizing people sitting on the back pew, because when I go and I'm not preaching, that's where I sit. But I guarantee you, if Jesus was sitting up here, every front pew would be full. People that could get down would be sitting on the floor, on the platform, and the back pews would be totally empty, because Jesus would be the focal point of all that's going on. You'd whip out your bulletin or something, and you want to take notes. You'd want to keep your eyes on him. You'd want to just keep looking into his face. You'd want to hear every word he said. You'd want to get it down so that you wouldn't forget it. Because instead of out there or walking around the parking lot, which was great, when Jesus got up here right in the middle, he becomes the focal point of everything that's going on. Now that's a fresh awareness of the presence of God. I have no doubt that most of the people that are right here in this service this morning, Jesus is in your life. He's a part of your life. I have no doubt about that. But is he at the periphery, or is he the focal point of your life? What about our church? I have no doubt that Jesus is a big part of the life of Barbie's Grove Baptist Church. But is he the focal point of Barbie's Grove Baptist Church? There are a lot of wonderful Christians scattered throughout our nation. And I know Jesus is a part of the life of this nation. But it's obvious he's not the focal point of this nation. We've got a lot of other things that are the focal point rather than Jesus. So revival is a fresh awareness of the presence of God. And I think that first picture, Jesus out there walking around, describes most individuals, most churches in our nation. But that's not the thing. We need Jesus as the focal point. The one person, the one thing that we focus upon 24/7. Now, that doesn't mean you don't go about your job or you don't eat and sleep, but it means that every thought at the back of it is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Is that what we're praying for? Is how desperately do we want Jesus to revive us? How desperately do we want him to be the focal point of our lives? Now, what would happen if Jesus stood here behind this pulpit, if he became the focal point? How would you foresee that? You know, one thing, we'd be instantly aware of his holiness. We would be instantly aware of his holiness. You think about Isaiah. Isaiah was probably the most godly man in the nation. And yet when he says, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up," what did he proclaim? "Lord, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, in the presence of holy God." Isaiah suddenly saw his own sinfulness. You remember on another occasion, it was Peter who fell down and said, "Lord, depart from me. I'm an unseen man, unfit man. I'm an unclean man. I'm a sinful man." If Jesus becomes the focal point, we deal with our sin. We deal with our sorry excuses, our lame excuses for not serving the Lord. where we, you know, well, you know, that's not really right, but it's not really wrong. You know, I think it's okay if I do that. I mean, I know it's probably not right, but, you know, sometimes we excuse a lot of stuff. But if when you look into the face of Holy God, everything changes. If Jesus becomes the focal point, sin is going to fall away. Southern Baptist missionaries in China back in the 30s had what they call a great Shung Tung revival. And missionaries got saved. Native preachers got saved. A lot of other things happened. But it was just amazing how they began to realize our hearts aren't pure before God. And they began to deal with sin. Bertha Smith, who came out of that revival, came back to the United States and traveled the United States. You know, she stayed as long as she could and the communists took over. She went to Taiwan and stayed there until the mission board said, "You're old. You got to come home." And so she traveled all over the United States after that, preaching the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. That was her topic. The holiness of God, the sinfulness of man. And she tried to get us to understand that in the presence of Holy God, sin had to be dealt with. If Jesus becomes the focal point, we're going to deal with sin. However gross it might be, or however minor we might think it might be, we're going to deal with sin. If Jesus becomes the focal point, sin, we're going to see His holiness, and we're going to deal with our sin. You know, if Jesus was the focal point, we'd be overwhelmed by His love. We would be overwhelmed by His love. As you read through the Gospels, the love of Jesus just pours out upon people, unworthy people. You think the miracle that we studied last Wednesday night for Bible study. A leper comes and he says, "Lord, if you want to, if you will, you can make me clean." And he says, Jesus reached out and touched him. A leper who was not even supposed to be come close enough. He was supposed to stay yards and yards away, but he got close enough and he felt so accepted by Jesus that Jesus could reach out and touch him. I mean, that's about that far. You think about that woman taken in adultery. They said, "We caught her in the very act. This isn't suspicious. This isn't hearsay. This isn't a tattletale. We caught her in the very act." But what did Jesus say to her after all was said and done? "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Loved. Mary Magdalene, loved. So out throughout the Gospels, we find people that were so overwhelmed and overcome by the love that Jesus had for them. And you think about it. The little kids liked Jesus so much that the disciples said, "Take these brats away. Shoo, go, go, go." And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." You know, little children don't like people that don't love them. I had an aunt growing up, and I tried to stay away from Grandma's house when that aunt was awake. I mean, you know, she just bugged me. She just wasn't very loving. Now, you know, it's funny, after she got to be about 90 years old, she got pretty, pretty loving. But when I was a little kid, it just wasn't there. The fact that little children flock to Jesus says something about his love. If Jesus becomes the focal point, we are going to be overwhelmed with his love. You know, if Jesus becomes the focal point, our hearts are going to beat with what his heart beats. Behold, I show you the fields that are white unto harvest. The laborers are few. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the fields. And we would begin to have a heart for people that don't know Jesus. I know for myself, there are times when I just have to remind ourselves, hell is hot and eternity is long. And there are people that are going there every single minute. It's not just two or three a day. While we're sitting here in church, there's probably dozens of people around the world that are going to die without Jesus. Does that bother us? Does that give us a desire to witness, to pray, to give? And not just to give randomly, but give in a way, in places and opportunities where we know that this money is used to reach people for Jesus. I mean, there are ministries that ask for your money almost every day. It's just amazing how much stuff comes to my house, maybe to your house. Or maybe it's just because I'm a preacher. I don't know. I know it's not because they think I got lots of money. But, you know, it's amazing. But some of them, 90% of what you send them is going to go for overhead. And very little of it's going to actually reach somebody. But then there are other opportunities you can give, and you know they're going to be out there on the front lines preaching and teaching and witnessing and bringing people into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. When we perceive Jesus as the focal point of our life and our ministry and our church, our hearts are going to beat with compassion for those that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. A burden to the point of tears. And you know, I lose that from time to time. I honestly do. I can't say, well, you sorry rascals, you ought to do better. No, sometimes I'm the sorry rascal that needs to do better. We need to be concerned about those that are lost. Now, notice some things. We're going to go back to Psalm 85 and look at some things that happened when we are revived. Go back to verse 6. Will thou not revive us again, that thine people may rejoice in thee? Rejoice in Jesus. There comes joy. You look at the life of the Apostle Paul and all the times he's beaten and stoned and imprisoned and shipwrecked and everything else, and yet Paul keeps writing, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. Joy in the Lord. Rejoice. Paul had such a relationship with Jesus Christ that in his presence there was joy. And I know that most of you have some folks, family, friends, that you just enjoy being in their presence. You know, you've got some friends. If you were driving to California starting today, you say, I'd love to have so-and-so with me. It's just going to be a great trip. Well, he says we rejoice in Jesus. When Jesus becomes the focal point, there's joy in his presence. In thy presence is joy forevermore. What the psalmist say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Just to know the presence of the Lord. He said there's going to be great joy. Then he also says, Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. When Jesus becomes the focal point and we experience his love, we're going to realize grace and mercy. Undeserved. We couldn't pay for it if we had $1 trillion. We couldn't earn it if we did 1 trillion good deeds. But we just experience his mercy over and over and over again. That doesn't mean you're never going to mess up. You think about old Peter. That boy could get his foot in his mouth faster than you can shake a stick. And yet Jesus kept showing mercy. Showing mercy. Showing mercy. Even after Peter denied Jesus 3 times. It would have been so easy to say, buddy, 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out. Get out the roll book of the disciples and mark his name off. No, we find Jesus, what did he do? He fed him breakfast. Go to the Gospel of John, he fed him breakfast. And then walked along the seashore and said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep, my lambs. Now that's mercy. And the Bible says Jesus is no respecter of persons. So that same mercy is yours and mine. When we stand in the presence of the Lord, when we have real revival, we have a gratefulness for God's mercy. Now it's easy to get proud and think I'm entitled. I'm entitled to this, that, or the other as a child of God. But the more we stay in the presence of Jesus, the more we realize that without his mercy, we don't have a chance. His mercy. When we get our eyes on Jesus, we're so excited about his mercy. He goes on to say, let's go to verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed one another. Mercy reminds us of the truth of God's word. And righteousness and peace. There are a lot of folks that just can't somehow or another feel clean and worthy. But what does the Bible say? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's like there's a God looking at us, but he's looking through Jesus. And he sees that righteousness that's in Jesus on us. Because we're saved, we're born again. And boy, when you learn that you are pleasing to God, not because you're so great, but because of who Jesus is in you, that brings great peace. Don't have to lay awake at night afraid. You've confessed your sins. You've forgiven them your sins. God remembers them against you no more. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. And that mercy and that righteousness gives you great peace. Folks, if you really focus on Jesus, you're not laying awake at night anxious. You're laying awake at night. If you're laying awake at night, you're saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Verse 11, truth shall spring out of the earth. Righteousness shall look down from heaven. Verse 12, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. The Lord will give us some good gifts, some blessing. prosperity when Jesus is the focus? As I wrote a few weeks ago, God did not lead Israel into the land of poverty to live in barely get along street. He said, I'm going to take you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I want to bless you. That doesn't mean God's going to give everybody a $40 million mansion and three Mercedes and a couple of Rolls Royce and a Lamborghini or something. But God wants to bless us. And when Jesus becomes the focal point of our lives, God will bless. Jesus, just read your New Testament. It was never barely enough. You think about when he fed the 5,000. And that's just men, and who knows how many women and children were in the crowd. What does it say? It says when they had eaten, they're full. They were full. They had all they wanted. You need some more? Anybody need any more? Got plenty. They picked up 12 basketfuls. I was telling somebody going out of church the other night, I was on one of those deals at church one time where we had homemade ice cream. And didn't enough people bring as much freezers, and I was praying over it. And when the last person went through the line, the last canister was empty. And there wasn't any seconds. I couldn't pray in any extra, but everybody got some. But when Jesus was the focal point and he was distributing, it was 12 basketfuls left over. And when he fed the 4,000, there were 7 basketfuls left over. Jesus blesses his people when he becomes the focal point of our lives. And think about verse 13. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the ways of his steps. We will be living godly and we'll be walking in the steps of Jesus. We'll be living godly and we'll be walking in the steps of Jesus. It's one thing to have Jesus at the periphery of your life, the periphery of a church, of a nation. But we need revival where Jesus becomes the focal point, the very center of our personal lives and of our church and ultimately of our nation. When Jesus walked the earth, there were thousands that heard him teach and preach, thousands that he healed, thousands that he fed, but there was a group. And I know that there was that 12 and then that inner group of Peter, James, and John that made Jesus the focal point of their life. And there was a greater group than that because when they went to elect a disciple to replace Judas, they said, pick out somebody from those that have followed from the very beginning. So we don't know how many more people were in that group that, you know, if you, it's like you got a layer, you got the 3 and you got the 12, and then there was a bigger group and there were women in that group. But for all of them, Jesus was the focal point. And this morning I say to you, we need to pray that same prayer that that psalmist prayed. Will you not revive us again, Lord? Give us a fresh awareness of your presence, where you become the very focus of our lives. Is that what you're praying? Is that what you're willing to surrender to happening in your life and to our church? I know that sometimes the devil says, yeah, but what are you going to have to give up? It's going to cost you to give up. You know, Peter came to Jesus one time and said, now, Lord, we gave up our this, and this is follow you. Jesus said, folks that have given up stuff to follow me will reap 100-fold in this world and in the life to come. What we give up for Jesus is an investment in our life here and an investment in eternity. And Jesus would never ask us to give up anything except anything that would hurt us or be a hindrance to us serving him. You know, I know there are people saying, well, if I surrender to Jesus, he may send me to Africa. Well, if he does, you're going to be blessed. But mostly he just wants you to have a willing heart. And then he probably won't send you any further than Stanley County. But if he does send you to Africa, that's great. Because it better be in Africa in the will of God than anywhere in the world out of the will of God. He says, righteousness will be ours and we'll be in his footsteps. We'll be in his footsteps. Do we really want revival? Do we really want a fresh awareness of the presence of God in our personal lives and in Barbie Grove Baptist Church? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment? The Lord has revival. He wants to give it. Do we want it? There's great blessing when Jesus becomes the focal point of your life, the focal point of our church. If there's somebody that needs to come to the altar, feel free to come. Somebody that needs to make another decision of any kind, feel free to come. Even as the music continues. If God's speaking to you in any way, would you come? Okay, would you look at me for a minute? Take what I've shared with you this morning to heart. Zach Snyder has been coming here longer than I have, and he's indicated he'd like to move his membership to our church from Hickory Grove. Is there a motion we receive him that way? That's enough of a motion. Second, all in favor of the uplifted hand. After the service, go by and give him a hug and tell him how glad you are that he's made this decision. And remember, Jeff wants to see the Baptist men down at front. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your presence and your power. Now may the Lord bless us, make his face to shine upon us, be gracious to us, and give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen.